So as we have been discussing issues related to the Messianic era and the world to come and all these things, and last week we had a very interesting conversation about sacrifices, korbanot, one of the very interesting issues to talk about is if what's going to happen to the laws of kashrut, the kosher laws. Well, all Torah laws when the Messiah comes. And we believe that the Torah will stay the same. It's not going to change. But there are some interesting things. In fact, I'll read to you. You see already the topic. You should be on page 576 there in the sheet. But I'll just read to you some comments. And let's just talk about one animal. What's like the most non-kosher animal in the world? Pigs. How do you say pig in Hebrew? Chazir. Okay. What else does that word mean?
Return.
So the question is, the word pig, pig is a very non-kosher animal, but pig in Hebrew is chazir, and also chazir means to return. So the question is, why does the name of pig, chazir, have a name that implies returning? Chozer. What's the connection between pigs and return? So I'll read to you what the Ricanti says. The Ricanti is an interesting Torah commentary from 13th century Italy. He was a Kabbalist and very interesting commentator. He says as follows. The Ricanti writes, Kvar yadata masha darshu rabbi seinu zal, you know what the rabbi said. Lama nikra shmo chazir. Why is the pig, it's not on the sheet there yet. Why is the pig called chazir? She'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachziru aleinu. Because God is going to return it to us. Meaning it will return to being kosher. That's what the Ricanti says. And he's not the only one who says this. As shocking as it might be, the sheets are in the back there when you walk in. He's not the first one to say it. The only one who says it. The Ritva says, Amru ba'agada, the rabbis say, Lama nikra shmo chazir, why is pig called chazir? Why is it called chazir? Which implies to return. She'asir kadosh baruch hu l'hachziro li'Yisrael la'asir lavo. Because it will return to being kosher. The pig, I guess, apparently was kosher at one time, and then the Torah came along, and not that it was kosher, it was permitted, because everything was permitted, and then the Torah came along and said, pig is forbidden, you can't eat it, but then when the Messiah comes, it's going to return to being kosher again, and that's why it was called chazir, because it will return to its kashrut. Quite a statement, huh?
Pigs have split, so they don't.
Yeah. So, good point. So, to be a kosher animal, it has to have split hooves and chew its cud, right? And regurgitate, chew its cud. Pigs, one of the reasons it's known for being the most evil animal is because what do pigs do?
Eat anything.
Well, yeah, they eat anything. Yes, exactly. They eat anything. They know they're eating the garbage of the world. But what else do they do? You add it?
They show their...
Yes. Pigs sit in a way where, like many animals, where they sit, put their hooves out, and that's the way of showing you, hey, look, I'm kosher. I have split hooves. I look kosher. But it really, it's tricking you. Deep down, it's not kosher because it doesn't chew its cud. It just digests it normally. So the pig is considered very evil because it's like it's pretending to be kosher. It looks kosher a little bit, but it's not kosher at all. So the rabbis are saying that this evil animal, which I mean, I shouldn't tell you, we have many of them here on this campus. I'll just leave it at that. Some of you know because you might work in that building where they are. Yes, you're one of them. But there are many pigs here on this campus, but for different purposes, not for food. But pigs, which also Muslims don't eat, right? This is something that's shared by many cultures that we don't eat pigs. But they seem to be arguing that one day it will be kosher again, and that's why its name is Chazir, because it will return to being kosher. So, and that's in many places. Now, interestingly, even though I just read to you from the Ricanti, 13th century Italy, from the Ritva, it's also in the Rabbeinu Bachya, which we'll read in a second. The Rabbeinu Bachya on the Torah says, She'asi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'achzir lanu, it will become kosher again. The Or HaChaim, another Rishon, it says, Lama nikra shmo chazir, she'asid lachzir liyot mutar. It will return to being kosher again. These are all very early sources. I mean, not very early. These are all Rishoni. These are all sources from the medieval period. But they do say, when they say this, They say that it is, like the Ritva said, it says the rabbis say. Where do the rabbis say it, though? Like, do you remember where in the Talmud it says this? Where do the rabbis say this? So they all seem to say it will be in the, it's in the Midrash. The problem is, see, there's this thing where, I heard this rabbi joking, you know, the Talmud Yerushalmi was always known as the Talmud that's the most difficult to read because it's written in a very strange Aramaic, not very strange, but in a very cursed manner. And don't worry, it's just explosions. We're used to that here. So it's written in a very difficult manner to decipher, and it's hard to understand. And so the Art Scroll, you know, translators recently just published a translation of the Talmud Yerushalmi. And I heard a rabbi speaking. He was like, I'm so mad at Art Scroll. Whenever I didn't know where the rabbi said something, I would always just say, oh, it's in the Yerushalmi. And no one would know because they can't check me. They can't see if I'm telling the truth or not because they can't understand the Yerushalmi. Now Art Scroll translated it. I can't just make up things that are in the Yerushalmi. So another place people did that was in the Midrash, because there's so many Midrashim. Midrash is rabbinic literature. There's so many of them. And there's not like one official Midrash. I mean, there's a Midrash Rabbah, but there's so many that many rabbis throughout history have just said, oh, the Midrash says. And you don't know if they're telling the truth or not. So, interestingly, I'm going to read to you now there's a sefer called Yafet Toar, and he's a commentary. He says as follows. In Vayikra Rabbah, on the Midrash, he says this. It says as follows. Lefi dati, lo haya velo nivra. There actually is no such midrash. Ki lo mitzanuhu b'shu midrash. I have searched for the statement that the rabbis say, the midrash says, that pig will become kosher again, and that's why it's called chazir, because it will return to being kosher again. I can't find this in any midrash. Ve'echshosh ezim acharonim hemsiu derech halatza. I think that someone said it like as a joke. They just kind of said, oh, the midrash says, Shiliosa midrashos kasher mitzios, and it's hard to find. Not everyone knows every midrash. B'yad kol adam b'yamim rishonim leheder adifus, because they weren't all published. Mishaya wrote to his chakem, and someone wanted to sound very smart. Hayamamsi ezim maimer shiyifrosh bo inyan halitzui, and they said, oh, they made this up. Like, oh, the reason it's called chazir is because it will return to being kosher, and the kosher pig will one day be kosher again. And they wanted to make, they were either joking or they wanted to make people feel good. So they said that. And they said, oh, it must be some midrash says that. And no one could find every midrash because they didn't have access to all of them. And that's where this came from, this whole idea that it's in the midrash. He argues that it doesn't exist. It's only in these Rishonim that were the first ones to write it. He says Achronim. He means what we call today Rishonim. In the medieval period, they were the first ones to say it. They said it for whatever reason they said it, but it wasn't actually a rabbinic statement. That's what he argues. In fact, the Bnei Yisrael says similarly. That's one of the Hasidic rabbis. He said, Margale bepumid inche. You hear many people say, she'asid chazir litaher, that one day pig will become kosher. Hein emes lo noda mikomo e'aye. But there's no one knows where it comes from, this statement. Everyone just says, oh, the rabbis say. But it's not printed anywhere. Ki lo nimsa b'midrashe chazal shebi yedenu ve'efshar hu b'kabbalah. It says maybe it's some kind of tradition, but we can't find it. It doesn't exist. So this is already kind of a strange thing. I mean, the whole idea that pig is going to become kosher again, and they're claiming that the rabbis say, but the rabbis don't say it anywhere. So what is going on here? Interestingly, the Chassam Sofer, I also found in this Sefer, the Chassam Sofer, who was a halachic work, he actually argues that, you know, I don't want to get too complicated here, but there's something called Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, something that could become kosher. You know, in kashrut, if something gets mixed, let's say you drop a little bit of milk into a pot of meat, how much do you have to drop in that it still stays kosher? Yeah, as long as it's less than 1/60th. But if it's something that's going to eventually become kosher, even at 1,000, it doesn't become batel, it doesn't become nullified. So the Chassam Sofer says in one place, maybe pig is something that does not become nullified because it one day will be kosher. He actually suggests this in a like legal, halachic perspective. So anyways, this comes up quite a bit. So what do we do with this? What do you think? Is pig going to become kosher? Who's hoping pig will become kosher?
I don't really care. I don't know. I'm okay without it.
You're okay without it?
Yeah.
I also have the Morning Star. Like we have, you can get bacon if you want now.
Right.
And it's not healthy, but you get the flavor. What?
They do use pigs a lot in research.
Right. You use them in research a lot. That's why we have them here. Right. No, they've saved many lives. You have pig valves and all that, you know, pig hearts now. But what about eating it? You aren't like excited. You wouldn't be like, oh, I hope Mashiach comes so I can have pig. I can have pork.
There's viable plant-based options now.
Right. There's plant-based options. And that was last week's session. We talked about vegetarianism in the Messianic era and, right, Morningstar. And maybe it will be that when Mashiach comes, that's why it'll be kosher. Maybe what it means, like now we understand there'll be ways of eating imitation pig. Right. Now we understand things that they couldn't understand. But, okay, let's look at a few theories here. Yes?
Can you raise a question for me? You said pig, is that okay for the Jewish people to get
it? Yeah. Yeah, you can have, you can't eat it. But some things in kashrut you can't eat or benefit from, like meat and milk mixed together,
okay.
Or chametz on Pesach. You can't eat it or benefit.
Okay.
When it comes to pig, you can't eat it, but you can benefit. So you can get benefit. Anyways, to save a life, for sure you could. But yeah, so you got pig valves, okay. A pig heart is okay. A friend of mine had an interesting question, though. Now that they have this technology, it's not really successful yet, but where you could get a heart transplant from a pig. So imagine if a cow got a heart transplant from a pig, and then eventually that cow became, you know, hamburger, steak. Could you eat that cow that had a pig heart? No, the truth is it won't be kosher anyways. Once you have that big of a surgery on a cow, it's not going to be kosher because it's going to be treif. But just an interesting question, no? Imagine you're having a steak and you like found out that that steak has a pig heart. Kind of joking, but I'm serious. It just has interesting things to think about. So
it doesn't become part of the animal. They just excrete it out.
Right.
So I think you can eat it.
Well, yeah, probably you could. Right, they get them out the blood. Probably you could, but the thing is, it becomes treif from the surgery. It's a big question. The question is, does the heart become part of the animal that it's like now has a pig heart, or is it like still separate that it's a cow if it has a pig heart?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you're not eating the heart, then it's still fine.
Okay, you would think so, but you can make the argument another argument that like it became part of it, so now it's like a cow that's partially pig.
You don't need to argue.
Anyways, those pigs are also genetically modified. Those pigs, by the way, are genetically modified to be kind of human-like. So imagine you genetically modify a cow to become human-like. I mean, all these are weird questions, but...
The whole meat industry is...
Like, yeah, you have worse problems in the meat industry. I agree. Yes. Right. Okay, but let's go back to our topic just a little bit, just to see a few interesting things. So now we've said, number one, there's these rabbis who have said that pig will become kosher again. That's why it's called chazir, because the word lachzor means to return, and return to being kosher. Okay, that was one side. But then we saw, but they're all quoting the rabbis, and the rabbis never said it. So where did they get that from? So now there's a few interesting things. I'll read to you a little bit more. So for example, the Or HaChaim. When the Or HaChaim, that's a commentary in the Torah, when he says this, that they'll become kosher, he says, La'asid lavo yichadesh kadosh baruch hu briuto shelachazir she'alot geira v'yu bo shnei simani tahara. He argues that now the pig only, as we mentioned, only has one. It has the split hooves, but not maligera. It doesn't spring up its cud. He argues that what will happen is that, because you can't say the Torah is going to change. This is the big problem we're having. You can't say the Torah is going to change. So he says, no, but maybe the animal will change. It will change that it will be able to then chew its cud. It will start chewing its cud, therefore it will become a kosher animal. That's what he argues. Which, on the one hand, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but there is in the handouts you have there. If you look in footnote 60, there. This is Rabbi J.D. Bleich from Survey of Recent Halakhic Periodical Literature and Tradition, Fall 1985, on page 577. He says here, an Associated Press news bulletin dated November 13th, 1984, reported that a species of swine closely related to the domestic pig is a kosher animal. The author alleged that the Ba Birusa, whose native habitat is Indonesia, is an animal possessing two stomachs, and suggested that it also chews the cud. So maybe there is even one species of pig that is kosher. I don't think you're going to see it at any kosher restaurant saying like, oh, we have the one pig from Indonesia, because no rabbi's going to be okay with that. But maybe there is such a thing, which is just fascinating because if you can imagine a kosher pig, I mean, all this stuff, you know, we have so many things that, like, if it exists somewhere in nature, you can imagine it existing, like, you know, Ozempic, the weight loss drug right now? Do you know how that exists? Do you know how they found that? Do you know the history of it? Ozempic, basically, it's supposed to be a diabetes drug, but they found that it helps people to not have, not be hungry, right? So the way it works is that apparently there was a lizard, a very rare lizard, that they found, and it turns out that this lizard only eats once a month. And researchers were confused, how does this lizard survive by only eating once a month? And it turned out that its saliva works such that it's able to, it doesn't get hungry because it's the way its saliva keeps it satiated. So they realized, wait, that saliva, what could that do for humans? And that's how they developed, Ozempic is made out of that saliva from this lizard. All this stuff is not just scientists in a lab making things up from scratch. God created in humanity, this is CRISPR, right? CRISPR, remember we've talked about CRISPR before, gene editing, which has now been approved by the FDA, the first gene editing that has now cured, not treated, cured, they're in the back by the door if you're looking for the source sheets, that they have cured sickle cell anemia. And that's through CRISPR gene editing. So do you know how gene editing works? It wasn't just like scientists making up ways to change the human body. That they realized that there's some bacteria in nature that the way they deal with viruses is that instead of developing immunity, the way that we've all learned about in the past few years about developing, you know, that we learned that now we're all experts in, you know, epidemiology and infectious diseases. Like now we're all experts in it, right? But we learned about the concept of developing immunity, right? But the way this one bacteria fights viruses is by learning its DNA and cutting up and changing its DNA. So Jennifer Doudna in Berkeley learned how to utilize that technique in bacteria, this rare technique, and say, well, if that can edit DNA, maybe we can learn how to edit DNA in the same method. And now we have CRISPR, which is going to change the entire world very soon. Just wait, but it's about to, and it's going to. So anyways, these are just things that, like, it exists somewhere in the world, and then it can be harnessed by science and used for all kinds of things. So, like, this whole concept that maybe what it means by pig being kosher is that it will one day change to be a kosher animal. Not that the laws of Torah are going to change, but that its stomach's going to change. And then we find that there actually is one pig, one place in Indonesia that already lives that way. So, like, such a thing is not so crazy. What? Oh, the red, like the Paraduma. So, right. So look at this. So now, that's one theory. I want to share with you one other theory. What did it mean when it said that the pig will become kosher again? Again, is it that we're going to eat it? So there's another school of thought of rabbis that said, none of this was talking about eating pigs. That was never the discussion. This was all symbolic. Pig, as I mentioned before, has always been considered an evil animal by Jews, right? Not just because it's just always been considered the worst, like the most not kosher. Josephus talks about it a lot, how one of the anti-Semitic ways that anti-Semites would harass Jews was through pigs. In the temple, for example, the Romans loved to do that. In the temple in Jerusalem, when they came to destroy it, they loved to bring pigs into the temple and worship pigs and like laugh in Jews' face. Like, look, we're eating pigs in your holy places. So if you look like here in the first source on the page 577, the Rebbeinu Bachya, after he says that pigs are going to become kosher again, he says, well, what does this really mean? He says, Bi'ur ha'inyan shela koach shelo. What it means is that the power of the pig, shela chazir, shehu chazir hechzir meitzar li Yisrael, that it will go from always challenging the Jews and struggling with the Jews, and oppressing the Jews, yashum im kar kol kochos la'azor litmoch liYisrael. The pig represents those who attack Jews. They will go from being attacking to becoming supportive. It's almost like you couldn't imagine. The whole world is going to have to change drastically, but that's what he's saying. So, for example, I'll read to you another place where it says it very, very interesting, fascinatingly. Listen to this. This is really wild. I'm reading to you now from that was Rebbeinu Bachya. Where I had it here, sorry. Oh, yeah, here it is. Here, this is what I want to show you. This, I think, is great. This is the Radvaz, which is a very traditional mainstream Rishon. In the Shas and Teshuvos, he says as follows. Listen to this, is a little crazy, as if everything else we said has been totally normal. So he says as follows. He says, Ulefia Pshat, the simple understanding of what this means, that the pig is going to become kosher again, he says, Efshar letaritz ala derech asher kasafti. Here's what I want to answer it. He says, Ki yu Yisrael ochlin mishmonim ki ilu hitir lahem basar chazir. They'll be eating these fats as if pig has become kosher again. Lo sheyutar lahem basar chazir chas v'sham. Not say that pig is going to actually become kosher. That's what it means. But there will be eating some kind of, you know, oils or flavors like pig. In fact, you know, maybe even what you're referring to in terms of fake meat or whatever it might be. This might even be what he's referring to, even though this was written 1,000 years ago, that we'll be able to have food that like tastes like pig or have something like pig. Okay, that's simple explanation. We'll be able to have our desire for pig satiated in other ways. In other words, we'll be able to eat something that tastes like pig. Okay? But look, he says, but that's the simple meaning. But there's a secret Kabbalistic mystical meaning. Listen to this. He says, Valder Chasod, but according to the secret reason, he says, Yesh Lamala, there is in the heavens, Sar Echad, one commanding force, some kind of angelic spiritual force, Ushmo Chazriel. And the name of this angel is Chazriel. You know, many of the angels, they end with like Gabriel, Emmanuel, they end with the name El because they're doing something with God. He is Chazriel. There's one angel called Chazriel. V'hu kati gor al Yisrael. That is the angel whose job it is to persecute the Jews. Apparently, there's an angel in heaven whose job it is, he's unfortunately working overtime lately, and his job is to persecute the Jews. And the name of the angel who's against the Jews is Chazriel. V'asi de kadosh baruch hu lahachziro liYisrael liyosh lahem senegor. And God is going to change that angel from being a persecuting angel to a defense attorney. So that will defend us.
By twisting the letters.
Just by twisting the letters.
You're yeah. Chazriel lachzar.
That's what we were talking about. You weren't here in the beginning. That he's going to be so this angel that's currently persecuting us, it's almost like, I mean, we can't say that answer to anti-Semitism is just to do nothing. We have to do something about it, but it's almost like it's saying like, well, if you want to deal with it, there's a big angel up there that's making it happen, but one day that angel is going to be on our side helping us. But that's what it says. And that's what Chazriel means, that there's some kind of angelic force that's going to churn and change. Not that we're going to be eating pig again. So that's totally taking it allegorically, that it's much deeper. Will pig become kosher? Not clear. Maybe this what he's saying is that no, it's not going to become kosher because you can't change the Torah. The Chasam Sofer, I just want to read you one real quick when the Chasam Sofer is in, and then hear your questions. The Chasam Sofer, when he talks about this, because he also believes, you can't believe that the Torah is going to change. So he says, V'hine b'vadai shekadosh baruch hu lo yakor mitzvah achas mikol mitzvos. It's not going that the Torah is going to change any mitzvos. That's why everyone challenges this midrash and says, how could it be that we're going to change the Torah and change the pig to become a kosher? How could that midrash say that? Well, now we've seen that. Maybe the midrash does not say that. No, but what God's going to do is change the nature of the pig, the yafshit zihumato v'yizdakek tivo, and change its total nature completely. Ubaim nizdakek tivo mimela yaleger, and then it will once again chew its cut again. This is what we saw that point before. V'alyadeze lo nekar mitzvah v'tar. That way, we won't have to change the Torah. Again, his concern was, how could it be that we're changing the Torah? So one suggestion is either the nature of the pig will change. The other suggestion is that the whole thing was meant allegorically, that pig refers to some kind of spiritual forces, and those forces that are persecuting us are going to turn into not just not persecuting us anymore, but actually supporting us. Yes, comments. And then I'll share with you. We'll conclude. I have one more cool, really another cool thing to tell you before we end about all this discussion.
But I just feel like a part of it is also just like kind of like a mashal, or it's an allegory for us, right? Like,
yeah.
It's very easy for Jews to be outwardly Jewish.
Okay.
It's very easy, like the pig is quote unquote outwardly.
Oh.
It's so easy for us to be like outwardly Jewish and, you know, and to practice and
very good.
But then, like, on the inside of us, are we?
Are we really kosher?
Yeah.
I love that.
And
I love that.
That's what like, the time when Mashiach calls.
Uh-huh.
You're like, okay, so you need to be the outward Jew, but you love your fellow Jew.
Yes. That's amazing. In fact, I'll bring proof for what you said. So what you're saying is that the pig symbolizes people being looking kosher on the outside with their split hooves, but deep down really being, you know, not kosher. And that's this world so much. There's so much we focus on externality, but not the internality. But when Mashiach comes in the better time, we'll actually understand the depths and the true who a person is. And actually, the Talmud says that there was one. There's a few, but there's one record of a near-death experience that the Talmud records. And when the person comes back, they ask him, "What'd you see?" And he said, "I saw an upside-down world, olam hafuch ra'iti." And he said, "Those who are on the top here were on the bottom there, and those who are on the bottom here are on the top there." So it's a nice proof for what you said, that the way that it will be an inversion of what we think is right. I love it.
So if the nature of the pig changes, this goes to your point.
Uh-huh.
It really comes from within.
Yes.
My big question is, if that were to happen at some point in the future,
yeah,
who is the judge of when it changes, and how does that have the ripple effect in the Torah in terms of the rules that are governing us and how we abide?
Yeah. Excellent question. Who gets to decide? So as you see here, it says the one who will decide will be the rabbi, particularly if they work in a hospital. The hospital. No, I'm joking. No, so the Mashiach, that's the job of the Messiah. We believe that the Messiah is going to come. And well, first of all, Elijah will come. First of all, we have this concept, this phrase in the Talmud. Whenever the rabbis couldn't figure something out, they said, teku. In Israel today, teku is how you say tie game in a soccer game. They say teku, but they didn't say it. They said it means actually that Eliyahu will come and mitaritz kushos abayot. Eliyahu Navi, Elijah the prophet, is going to come and answer all the questions. So Elijah will be there, and the Messiah, and like there will be, and we talked last week about the Sanhedrin that will be the ones that will have the authority to make changes. Only them. So there will be a supreme rabbinic body. It's not something that someone could just come along and as a charlatan and just sort of say like, oh, this is now that, and this is now that. It has to have that a certain authority.
Right.
But it's a good question.
My other question, if I may,
sure,
is why is there an angel, I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah.
Why is there an angel that's meant to persecute the Jews? Well, is that contrary to...
I mean, it's just, that's a good question. But it's just like we believe that we have a Yetzer HaTov and a Yetzer HaRa. We were created with a good inclination and an evil inclination, because you have... For the world, for there to be free will, and there has to be a sense of good and bad, and you have to be able to overcome the negative inclinations and to have challenges. It could be that all this stuff, I mean, not could be, it is that all this stuff is much deeper than we can really understand. So what does it really mean that the angel's there? Could it just mean that there's like a lack of godliness? Or what it really means is much deeper than what I'm saying, but from our perspective, it means that there must be a yin and a yang, a challenge, a push and a pull in order for the world to function, that God, for whatever reason, because really it's all God. We believe that angels are actually God. And it's just our way of understanding God better. And that God, for whatever reason, has decided that I'm going to put challenges in this world, and our job is to somehow overcome them. And in the end of the day, somehow it'll all make sense and all be right and good.
So if that persecuting angel transforms to our defense counsel, then how do we get the contrapositive, the juxtaposition?
Oh, we won't have it anymore. There will be a time when it's all good. Yom Shekulo Tov. Yeah, utopia. Exactly. That's what we're hoping for, basically. Let me tell you one more thing, because we're out of time, just to show you, because it's interesting. You have it here. You don't have it here on the sheet. When I was researching, I came across this, and I just thought this was interesting, which is that, maybe I'll just read it to you, because it's very short. It is, it's quoted in a number of different books. I saw this here. It's called a Sefer Imre Noam. And I'm just going to read it to you. It says, She'asid lavo yeyeh Ha'ari muter bechila. Also, lions are going to become kosher. Ki be'etzem harehu min tahor. Because in its essence, a lion is a pure animal. Upnei ha'arye hu echad mi'arba panim shemarkava. We believe that there's this chariot that the prophets talk about, this chariot in heaven that symbolizes God's presence. And one of the faces of it is a lion. And somehow, there's also some statements that the lion will also become kosher, and it's going to change somehow its nature as well. V'aryeh kevakar yachal teven. And somehow the lion is also going to become a kosher animal. I just thought that was interesting because I'd only heard this discussion in the past about if pigs are going to switch to become kosher. And apparently there's also a discussion about lions. But just to summarize, the idea here is that we've been talking about the concept of the Torah changing. Is there going to be a change in the future world? And we've said that there can't be. One of the principles of faith of Maimonides is that the Torah will never change. But then we saw, well, there are some statements about some things changing. It seems to imply that there will be change. But then we saw, well, maybe that means what will change, though, will be like the animal itself or what the animal symbolizes. Not that the laws of the Torah will change, but the way they are applied because the way reality will change. So it's not that the Torah is going to change, but somehow reality, but we do believe that reality is going to change. Things are going to be different, and that will have an impact on our lives. But the main point is that those negative forces will return chazir to being positive forces. And so it's something very exciting to look forward to, whether for you that means you're looking forward to having a ham sandwich, or if that means that you're looking forward to goodness in the world. Hopefully that's what you mean. And I really like what you said about, you know, it's gonna mean more goodness, true goodness in people in a more obvious and open way and sincere way, but their insides reflect their outsides. That was really beautiful. And next week we'll continue with this. Okay, we can go for 5 more minutes if you like. So, because you're right, there are other midrashim that do seem to imply some kind of a change in halacha, which of course goes against the ninth principle of faith of the Rambam, and so we have to understand it. It obviously does not mean we're not going against the Rambam. It means something deeper. It means something different. Like we have, it's a nuance, but it's not contradicting the Rambam. It can't go against the Rambam. But I'll give you an example of one of a midrash that at face value does seem very controversial and extreme and radical, but maybe when put in perspective, there might be you know logical or interesting explanations for it that don't have to be so radical. For example, a very controversial source that's quoted in a number of places is from the Midrash Tehillim, Mizmor Kuf Mem Vav, other places quoted as Midrash Shochar Tov, which says as follows. It's a really wild midrash. It says, Hashem matira surim. God either, you know, frees those who are bound, frees the prisoners, or does it mean matir isurim? So the midrash says, Mahu matira surim. Yesh omrim kol habahema shenit meis b'olam hazeh. Any animal that is impure in this world, mitar osa kadosh baruch hu la'asid lavo. Then in the future, Hashem will make it pure. As it says in Brachos, Kiyerek Esav Nesati Lechem Es Kol, like the vegetables of the ground, I've given you everything. Ma Yerek Esav Nesati Lechol, just as I've given you all fruits and all vegetables. Afachaya Uvehabahima Lechol Mitchila. At first, animals were considered, you know, edible, kosher for everyone. V'lam Asar Asa. So how come something became unkosher? Liros Misha Mikabo Devarav, to see who will accept Hashem's word. Hashem had to put restrictions and guidelines to see if we could follow them. And that was kind of a test. And that was for a period of time, the time that we're in right now, that you have to obey. Umi'enu Mikabo, but who cannot, and to see who cannot obey. Ulasi Lavo, hu mater es kol masha aser. But in the future, Hashem will make everything that he was currently prohibited, make it all allowed. That does seem quite extreme. Rabbi Naftali Wiederblank quotes Rav Shlomo Buber from the 19th century, who mentions, who quotes others, who say that, you know, this Midrash is a later edition. It's not actually part of the original Midrash. It was all, you know, a later edition. It's not actually Chazal, and it's not authentic. What he points out, though, that the problem is that the Sefer HaIkarim, Stei Chemed, they do say it's authentic, and even Rav Chaim Palagi says that it's actually the true source of the Midrash concerning the pig is mentioned above that we talked about. This is where it comes from, that Midrash about the pig. But so how can you understand this? I mean, obviously there must be a deeper way of understanding, a deeper message, and something that doesn't contradict our traditional beliefs that halacha will never change, the Torah will never change, and we have to understand it within that context. So the Tanhuma in Vayikra Perkid Aleph Siman Vav says as follows. Really interesting piece that also seems to imply that unless you understand it properly. It says, there will be a meal for the tzaddikim that we're going to eat the behemoth, as they call it in English, and the leviathan, right? The ein sham shchita. But we're going to be eating the behemoth and the leviathan, but there won't be any actual halachic shchita there because they're not going to actually kill it. Why? V'heichan hein nishchatit, so how will they be slaughtered? Then, elaze laze mizdavgim shnehem. But what will happen is that they will grab each other, they'll fight with each other. Behemoth yigash b'leviasan v'ochez b'karnav uvokea. The behemoth will kind of go to the leviasan and get it with its horns and like split it open with its horns. V'leviasan hafach ye misaso shemaka osa b'zanevo v'horgo. It's going to kind of like exchange with the behemoth, and then it will die as it gets like slapped with its tail and kill it. V'atzadikim hochim v'notlim manos manos. And then the tzadikim are just going to go and take their portions for each of them, and they'll eat it, but it wasn't shechted. So what's going on there? What is it? Either you could say, oh, that's a support that it'll all be mutter, or you could say, no, there must be something else happening here. First of all, there must be deeper messages there, which that's for another time, but obviously there's ethical and moral and religious messages of this whole piece. There's a lot to say, but we're going to save it. But Chassam Sofer, for example, in Shas and Tshuva's Chassam Sofer, Yer Idea, Yud Tes, he says, look, it does not indicate halacha is going to change at all. It's definitely not saying that. And I'll read you. Let's just read one sentence from the Chassam Sofer, and we'll conclude with this, just to add a little nuance for our discussion today. It's a fascinating discussion, and there's so much more to say, but we'll get there. V'ein hakavana shi'echadesh Torah chadasha chas v'shalom. It does not mean, these sources, that there will be a new Torah, God forbid. Ella, shafilu einan nami nishcho, even if we're going to say that there won't be shchita on a nami nishchot b'magra. There could be a way of doing shchita with a sort of stimulation. Im haya efshar lomar bari li shelo pagati, that I know I didn't inflict it. If there was a way of shechting an animal in this way that we would know we did it right. Ela karati ela she'ein adam. I'm sorry. I skipped a line there. Shelo pagati velo karati. Now I know that I didn't afflict it, I didn't tear it. Ela she'ein adam yacholomar kein. But no one can say they did this perfectly right. We don't know how to do it right. V'afila omar lo me'aminan le. And even if we say we don't trust them, ki mi yachol lishaer zeh. How can we know for sure that we did this type of untypical shchita, that we're doing it properly? We don't know how to do it anymore today. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheshochet ba'atzmo. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one coordinating the thing, and he's the one making it happen, yachol lomar barili, he can say I did it right. So that this was actually halachic shrita. This was done in a way that humans can't do. We can't do this because it's too complicated. We don't do this type of shrita, but Hashem can. So it does fit in with the hilchos shrita. It is halachically valid. So therefore, it says v'im kein haynu Torah chadasha me'iti. It comes from Hashem, meaning the Torah is being mechadish. It's Hashem can be mechadish or teach us halachos that we couldn't do ourselves, but Hashem could do it. That's why it says Torah chadasha me'iti davka teitze. It will come from Hashem. Hashem can do things that we can't do, and so we do not institute a new Torah. But things could happen that are done in a way that we can't do it because we can't be certain that we'll do it the right way. But Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knows how to do it the right way. And so even though it might seem when you read such a medrash that it seems to be like it's uprooting or undermining halacha, it's not. It's just doing things in a way that we are not capable of doing it today. But when we have Gilui Shechina, when Hashem is with us, then we can do it properly. Hashem could do it properly, and it won't be undermining the Torah. It'll be doing the Torah properly, just in ways that we have to be extra cautious about doing today. But we'll have total experience of Hashem, Malah Haaretz Deyes Hashem, and Hashem will be able to do things that we can't accomplish now, but it does not mean actually undermining the Torah or ending the Torah or creating a new Torah. It'll all be the same Torah, just being fulfilled in its ultimate sense through HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ways that humans can't accomplish right now, but we can accomplish in its ultimate sense, which is just revealing and ultimately exposing the depths of the Torah, not, God forbid, undermining the Torah or canceling it in any way.